Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit you instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I am so excited that today's collect is Proper 19. There it is, right in your bulletin. O God, because without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. I love that collect. Proper 19, that's how it's titled in the Book of Common Prayer, is the collect appointed for the Sunday closest to September 14th, as are each of today's readings. As this Sunday approached, I realized that today, September 12th, is not just the Sunday closest to September 14th, but it is the day that follows September 11th, 2021, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. So it seems necessary and fitting to recognize that event this morning. The day that the skyscrapers, designed by an architect who was afraid of heights, and the airplanes, which require an act of almost religious faith to surrender your life in absolute trust to, two man-made behemoths joined together in a fatal kiss 20 years ago. Adam Goodhart, the writer of the essay entitled The Skyscraper and the Airplane, 9/11/01, believes that these two creations represent the double face of modern-day alienation: proximity and anonymity, the limitless pain of loneliness and the limitless promise of random encounters. Skyscrapers place us alongside strangers and demand that we work, and airplanes force us to sit side by side in a congregation of strangers. Who were the individuals in those airplanes and in those skyscrapers? What is their story? What is our story about that day, or any other day for that matter? In his book, A Palpable God, Reynold Price states, "A need to tell and hear stories is so essential to the species Homo sapiens, second only in necessity, apparently after nourishment and before love and shelter." Your story, then, comes just after food and before love and shelter. I've spent most of my life telling stories in the theater, sharing what it means to be human. So what does it mean for us here in this moment, on this Sunday closest to September 14th, in the shadow of 9/11, reading this collect and worshiping in this holy place? This collect, Proper 19, was the main focus of a sermon delivered many years ago by Father Dorsey Smith while he served as the interim priest at St. Paul's in the early 1980s. I have never forgotten it. The collect, that is, not the sermon. After all, at that time I was a young mother with three children, so there was no note-taking. But I was so inspired by that sermon that the collect I know by heart. So I was excited to get to speak on this day with this collect. But what was I going to say? I considered the collect afresh, asking, okay, what does it mean for us to pray, O God, because without you, we cannot please you. Mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our lives. How does this figure into our story? All I kept hearing was a phrase inspired by the old milk commercial where you see the celebrities and they have this big white mustache, and in big bold letters it says, "Got milk?" All I kept hearing was, "Got God?" Because considering the color, we cannot please him without him. So have we got God? How do you get God? How do we abide in him and he in us? How do we have God with us? Father Jim often dismisses us with, "Go now, go with God." How do we really do that? Today's Old Testament reading from the book of Proverbs provided a huge clue for me. Proverbs is a pretty short book, and it begins with 9 instructional chapters, and today's reading is from chapter 1. And it gives us some of the biblical basis of all the practical wisdom that's shared in that book. Wisdom here is defined as the ability, divinely bestowed and acquired through a lifelong process, that enables a person to make and carry out decisions that are pleasing to God, and ultimately socially and personally beneficial. Now, if I understand that correctly, it means that wisdom is divinely bestowed. So God gives us the very thing that we need in order to please him. In the Torah, this foundational principle, this basis of faith referred to as wisdom, begins and is based in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 clearly states, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. It is the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord that is the beginning and the principle and the choice part of knowledge." In other words, its starting point and its essence. Now, this isn't the kind of fear that paralyzes us. This is awe, that great respect, the veneration of God, reflecting God's sovereign ordering of all things. And we're not talking intellectual prowess. We've heard Father Jim mention many times that the longest 18 inches is the distance from our heads to our hearts. Now, this knowledge is the reverence of God that lives in our hearts, allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us. And wisdom is another way of saying God here. So take a look at the first line of today's verse from Proverbs. She is shouting in the street, calling us, just like John the Baptist calling us from out in the wilderness. If we hearken to that voice, if we listen, God will pour his thoughts to us and make his words known to us. It says so right there in verse 23. And then at the end it says, if we listen to wisdom, aka God, we will be secure and live at ease without dread of disaster. It doesn't say without disaster. 9/11 was a disaster for sure on our shores. It says without dread of disaster. No worries. You're in good hands. His. Many of us may have spent our days fretting, worrying, and wondering if disaster will strike on this anniversary of 9/11. So we try to figure everything out, consider all the angles, all the scenarios. But that kind of reasoning robs us of peace because it's spinning your wheels without God's truth at the center. We have to be still enough to listen to God, study His Word, write it in our hearts, and believe. Know, have the faith that He has us and we are His beloved children. Got God? Piece of cake. Very simple. Just believe. If only we weren't human. If only we weren't subject to our insecurities, our fears, our egocentricities, our wants, our likes, our dislikes, our conceits, our self-deprecation, and the list goes on. Just look at the epistle from James again. All of us are sinners and fall short of the glory of God by what we do and don't do, by what we say and don't say, and with our tongues, through our speech. We set fire to the very things we're supposed to care for. And then there's Peter in the gospel today. He takes Christ aside to rebuke him for saying all that crazy stuff about Christ's suffering and being killed and rising again. Imagine rebuking Christ. Yet we do it all the time. Every time things aren't going the way we want, or they don't turn out the way we planned, or we're faced with grave challenges, like 9/11, today's pandemic. And Christ rebukes Peter right back, even calling him Satan, saying, "Your mind is fixed on earthly things." I am a lot like Peter. Sometimes I only listen to God when I like what he says, or if it won't cost me anything, or if it's something I want to hear. If it's something disturbing or uncomfortable, like Peter hears in today's reading, I try not to hear it. I suspect I'm not alone in suffering from that type of hearing loss. I like hearing and knowing that God is love, that he takes care of us, and that we are his beloved children. But our world was shaken to the core on 9/11. And today's headlines are pretty grim too. And I start to squirm when I read in today's gospel things like, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." We're supposed to deny ourselves and take up the cross. What? But this cross isn't supposed to be a burden to bear, as some folks like to make Christianity out to be. It is, rather, a relationship with the living Christ. Joyce Meyer's comments about taking up her cross, our cross. Our cross is to live unselfish lives. We are to forget about our own interests and live for God and other people. We must lay down our lives and do what is good for other people and the kingdom of God. And she goes on to recognize that when we really consider choosing to live an unselfish life, something deep within us cries, "What about me?" I must admit, on 9/11, sitting on the tarmac at Newark Airport with my 80-year-old father and my 21-year-old daughter, witnessing the first of the Twin Towers burning, all I could think of was, "What about us?" After learning that both towers had gone down and that the Pentagon had been attacked, I went into survival mode. We ran from the airport, crossed the parking lot, rented a car, drove to Florida and never looked back. But here is the good news. God takes care of us in ways we don't understand, but he's always got us. One of my devotional readings from Friday, September 10, focused on John 16:33, where Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus didn't promise tribulation and end his sentence there. He says, I have overcome the world, and that very act brings hope to every situation. Whatever tribulation we face, Jesus is bigger. Whatever pain we suffer, Jesus is bigger. Whatever battle we're fighting, Jesus wins. God's got you. Make no mistake about that. We belong to Jesus, and we know how the story ends. Is God part of your story? Is he the author of your story? Have you got God? Yeah, you do. Please pray with me the collect for today. Oh God, because without you we cannot please you, mercifully grant that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.